Pinkerton left behind Detective William H. Scott and 10 assistants to shadow suspected spies, hunt for crooked contractors, and roust malingerers from McClellan's army who still hung out in local hotels. By the beginning of April, leaders from New York to Washington were optimistic. With Union gains in the West and McClellan's army poised at Fort Monroe to thrust up the peninsula, the war would not last long, many Northerners believed. Stanton, who strong-armed newspapers into printing positive stories, ordered on April 3rd that all recruiting offices be closed, convinced there would be no need for more manpower. A refrain became popular that the Federal Army would dine in Richmond by July 4th. Feelings ran the opposite in Richmond. The Confederate High Command became greatly alarmed when it finally realized the vast army McClellan had amassed at Fort Monroe. Field fortifications around the city, grown dilapidated, were rebuilt. Johnston's army was called back to the capital. Richmond ladies began stitching together tens of thousands of sandbags. Flyers were distributed, alerting citizens that large bodies of troops would be passing through the city and asking residents to cook food for them. In a fortnight, the Confederate Congress voted itself a pay raise and adjoined so its members could leave the threatened capital. Winder's office became crowded as well, with residents seeking documents needed to flee the city. Not all were panicked. Richmond's Unionists privately rejoiced. Van Loo, who by April 4th could hear the faint rumble of Union cannon to the south, began entertaining the notion that McClellan might soon be a guest in her home.